Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast. And today we're looking forward to October the 12th, where at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, we will be having a global prayer meeting. And I'm really looking forward to praying with you on that day in Jesus' name. So Steve Burgess, our regional overseer for the Pacific, has joined us today just to have this short, brief word on prayer. Hi, Steve.
Hi there, Pastor Phil.
Good to have you with us.
Great to be here. Looking forward to that day of prayer. They're always great. Great to pray with so many people from around the world.
Right, right.
And great opportunity for me to ask you a couple of questions on prayer, if you don't mind.
No, right.
So, I mean, a lot of people know about your prayer life. It's quite renowned around the movement. Could you tell us a bit about your prayer life? What does that look like on a daily basis?
Well, let me jump back to the origin, Steve. Way back when I first got born again, I was really uninitiated to the whole Christian life. But I did like the presence of God. I found that in worship and in being in church, I could feel God. And I just wanted to get closer. Mm. So I heard a guy called Edward Miller talk about prayer, and he had been praying for 8 to 16 hours a day in Argentina just before the Tommy Hicks revival in the 1950s. And a lot of that revival is attributed to his prayer life. And I thought, I couldn't do that much, but I'll give it a 3-hour shot. I'll have a go at that.
Sure.
So I went home, got in a little room, started to pray, and prayed everything I could think of. And I thought, man, that's got to be at least the first hour. And I looked at my watch. It was like 5 minutes. I thought, oh, no, I'm going to die in here. And on that day, I kind of didn't like prayer.
Right.
That's saying it mildly. I really thought, oh, no, I just hate this. Being locked in a room, thinking that I've got to be in here for hours and just praying like this, meaningless. And so anyway, that time passed, and then I got inspired to do something that Christians were talking about at church called Seek the Lord. Mm. And I didn't know what that meant at all, but I just felt the desire to get away, and I hitchhiked down to Mount Cook, which is, I don't know, 4 hours south of Christchurch in New Zealand. And I got down on the foothills there, hired a little hut, and I went out on the side of the hill. And I just screamed out at the top of my voice because nobody was around. I said, God, where are you? And I just wanted to find God and get closer. And I was so like passionate and desperate. I was looking behind rocks. I was looking behind bushes. Where are you, God? God, I want to find you. And it was my simple way, even though I knew that wasn't it, but it was me trying to show God. I really wanted to find him. So then God was there. I was standing on that hill, and I could feel God right next to me. And I thought, whoa. And I didn't know what to say. I just said, hello. I like you. I knew God was there. It's not pretending or feigning it. He was the power of God, the presence of God. And so I just stood there, pretty much saying nothing. And then you kind of, at a point, break out of that consciousness. And I thought, whoa, that felt like 5 minutes. I looked at my watch and it was 1 hour.
Right.
So then I realized that the foundation of prayer is not prayer, it's relationship.
Right.
So that made me want to seek God for God, not to seek God for his hand, but to seek his face. And I thought, Lord, I want to know you. And so when prayer has that essence behind the reason for praying rather than a problem or a desire or something that you are wanting for somebody else, but you actually want God. I think if that can be at the root cause of your heart to pray, then prayer's easy. Doesn't matter how long, doesn't matter whatever. If you can become conscious and aware of God in that time. And I found ever since then, I can pretty much switch my thoughts towards the Lord and I become aware that he's there. And I think he's always near us. It's whether or not we choose to tune in with our consciousness to that presence.
So tomorrow morning when you are seeking to locate the presence of God, how would you go about doing that?
Okay. So my alarm goes off. I get up. I'm walking down the street. And generally, I don't try much at all. Mm. I find I become aware that he's there. Within about 3 to 5 minutes, I feel the presence of God. And instantly, it has an impact on me because I'm walking fast, going praying in tongues, worshiping, and just and a little bit unaware of God, and I'm just praying. And then because I'm looking to get to that place, and then I feel God, or it's like the anointing, and instantly I slow down, mm-hmm. I go quieter, I become aware of the Holy Spirit, become less aware of the world around me, and that sets you up for just feeding on that, where that takes you in prayer. So I will just follow that. And I have a few things that I pray for every day. And so I'm going to follow through on praying for those. But then there are moments in that prayer time where I will feel the grip of the Holy Spirit on me and I will flow with that. So often that is a birthing, a conceiving and birthing of something. Sometimes I wouldn't know what it is because I'm praying in tongues and I get an idea of what it is, but then I'm believing God. And sometimes it's aggressive. So I need to be in a place where I'm not conscious of other people listening. So being in the dark on the beach in the early morning, that helps. And because there's hardly ever anybody else there. And if there is, you just keep yourself till that moment, I guess, until you're not aware of other people, but you can be abandoned in prayer. And if you can't find a place like that, then shut the door, go into the closet like Jesus said, and be in a place where you can get carried away or be aware of God. Because that is what a minister should be bringing to his congregation. Not just a message, but a sense that they met with God this morning.
Right. I'd love to come back to that in just a second. But can I just ask you about the gift of tongues specifically? As a kind of a means of locating the presence of God. How do you employ the gift of tongues to do that?
Well, I think tongues is so powerful and underestimated. Number one, it unhooks your brain. It unhooks your tongue from your brain and hooks it up to your spirit. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue, and that's the certain kind of heavenly language I'm talking about, an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, not even yourself. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So those mysteries can be interpreted, but sometimes God leaves you just to pray in tongues. I think that it tunes your spirit. I think praying in tongues, it's like finding the radio station on your radio dial.
Right.
And you go, zzz, zzz, and you're going through all these crackly noises. And for a lot of people, they're not aware of God or of his word, of him speaking to them, because the satellite dish, if you like, is facing the wrong way. Mm. Their antenna are not tuned, the station is not tuned into that frequency. And so I think tongues does that for us. So gradually, as I speak in tongues, I not only tune myself, I build myself up in my most holy faith, Jude says, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. And The fact is, it's the least of the gifts. So that's awesome. That means everybody can access it. Mm-hmm. I've heard people quote that in order to dismiss the gift. Oh, it's only the least of the gifts.
Right.
Well, my Lord, I would say that the least of God's gifts has got to be one of the greatest that you and I could ever access. And so, yeah, I would say maybe 20% of my prayer life. No, it'd be more than that. About a third of my prayer life would easily be in tongues.
Great. A lot of people are listening to this are going to be pastors or they're in ministry. Now, when I first got into ministry, I remember thinking, oh, this is great because I'll have so much more time and energy to devote myself to prayer. but actually what ends up happening is ministry can crowd out your prayer life. Could you talk to us about the pastor and their prayer life, the cruciality of prayer for the ministry?
Yeah, such a great question. Because traditional views of what a pastor's duties are can definitely drag him away from a life of devotion, personal spiritual devotion to Jesus. So I think the clearest pictures in Scripture are one in the book of Acts, where there was a domestic problem in the church. It was almost what you'd call a racist problem. Mm-hmm. There were goods that were being divided out amongst the widows, and the Hebrew-speaking women were being favored over the Hellenistic-speaking women. And so this became a big problem. They brought it to the apostles and said, can you sort this out? And they said, no, we're not going to abandon, and they used the word abandon, the word of God and prayer to sort out these issues. You choose some guys amongst you who can sort out this, and they've got to be, and gave them a criteria for these people they would choose. So that's interesting. You've got to fight to hold on to your devotion.
Yes.
Because management will threaten to steal you away. Second example I think of is Moses, when there's a war going on, and he is a brilliant fighter, military strategist, trained in the ways of Egypt, knows how to win a war. But God says, no, you're not to go down there and fight the battle. You're to go on top of the mountain and pray for the people who are in the fight down below. And interestingly, Joshua, who was fighting the Amalekites in the valley below, every time that Moses' hands got weary and he let them down, the enemy gained ascendancy over Joshua. But when his hands went up again, Joshua started to win the battle. And so Aaron and Hur, his brothers, Moses' brothers, they said, we'll hold your hands up in the air, which is a fantastic picture of, number one, the man of God praying for his people in their battles,
yes,
and his soldiers. And number two, us praying for our pastor and upholding his hands in prayer because he has been given authority to cast blessing over his flock. And whatever we have authority over, we can command blessing over those people. And so I think that it becomes super important that we understand that we discharge our calling from God in prayer far more than we do in management.
Right.
And we might think that being busy as a manager is fulfilling a whole lot of expectations God has on us. But actually, we're only fulfilling people's expectations or the board's expectations or the congregation's expectations or maybe even our own expectations on ourselves. And we should be prepared to give ourselves permission to take an entire day to sit with God, read the Word, draw on His Spirit, commune with the Holy Spirit. And when that man gets in the pulpit, he's going to deliver something that feeds the flock,
right,
and is a magnet for drawing new people into the church. You can run around management meetings and do marketing, how to attract people into the church, do surveys and everything else. But if you are a praying man or woman of God, you're going to find that attracts people way more and builds a spiritual church.
So probably the most productive thing that the pastor can do is pray.
I can't think of a more productive thing, because out of prayer, he is going to preach like a man coming out of heaven. And he'll breathe the air of another world into his congregation.
Pastor Phil, as we close, could you pray for people listening to this who might want to discover a deeper and richer prayer life? Pray that they would be, that they would find that.
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the people listening today. I do pray for your presence to fill their hearts. You have said in Zechariah that you will pour out the spirit of prayer and supplication. And when we are open to you, the Spirit of God comes on us as a spirit of prayer, crying out, Abba, Father, teaching us how to pray because we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So fill us with that Spirit so that we are strengthened with the power from God to fulfill all the work that you've called us to do. We pray for this upcoming prayer meeting, this global prayer meeting around the world, that all of us would be stirred to not just have individual prayers on our own, but have corporate prayer where we are agreeing together Amen. In the most powerful practice that the church can engage in on earth, united prayer. In Jesus' name, Father, bless every person with a hunger for God, a thirst for the Holy Spirit, and an unquenchable thirst that just lasts forever for the presence of God to fill our churches in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.